A mindfulness program for school children around the country has just attracted a high-profile ambassador in the form of Sir Ashley Bloomfield. Pause, Breathe, Smile is a program developed by Grant Ricks in collaboration with the Mental Health Foundation. It is funded by Southern Cross and available free to all Kura, primary and intermediate schools, so far reaching 114,000 students. The former Director General of Health, Sir Ashley Bloomfield, has joined the program as an ambassador and will travel the country speaking to school children about the benefits for all ages of breathing techniques and mindfulness. He is with us along with the program's founder, Grant Ricks. Kia ora kōrua. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Grant, I'll start with you, if that's all right, just to recap for us what this program offers.
Sure, yeah. So it's a mindfulness-based wellbeing program, as you mentioned. And it started out as 8 lessons, but schools can deliver it over 16 or more lessons now. And it really is about teaching kids basic mindfulness skills, such as mindful breathing and body scan techniques and things like that, that really help them to build a really healthy, positive relationship with their body. And then to apply those basic skills to other areas that are really important for our mental well-being, such as being able to regulate our emotions. So, giving kids the skills to notice how they're feeling, to name it, which is really important for emotional literacy, and to accept, actually, that it's okay to feel that way. You know, if you're feeling angry, it's okay to feel angry. It's not okay to go and hit someone that's, acting it out. So it's really about using these skills they're learning in the program to diffuse that emotional tension in positive, healthy ways, which they do. And then similar with negative self-talk, having the skills to cut through unhelpful thoughts and to move with the helpful thoughts, and then to bring greater kindness, positivity into relationships with others. So that's sort of the program in a nutshell.
What was the origin? I understand it's Southern Cross Healthcare that is funding this, and therefore it is free. But what was the origin of it?
Yeah, well, it started actually 10 years ago now. I was working for the Mental Health Foundation, and we got a small philanthropic grant at that time to look at a mindfulness and education program, because it was happening around the world. It was sort of attracting attention, already pretty well established in the healthcare space, mindfulness interventions. And so in those early days, it was about writing the program and then piloting it and researching it with researchers both from AUT and the University of Auckland. And we found really great results in terms of increasing calm and focus in the classroom and significant increases in childhood well-being. And so that sort of prompted more of a rollout approach. And then it was 3 years ago that Southern Cross came on board. We set up the Pause, Breathe, Smile Trust. Mental Health Foundation is still a core partner in this work. And that's where it really took off, thanks to the funding of Southern Cross, removing all the financial barriers for schools to do the program.
You've recently had it evaluated, I understand, or it has been independently evaluated by a Christchurch research consultancy called MindQuip. Can you just explain what it did and what it found?
Sure. So that we've actually, we've been researching all the way through and evaluating all the way through. And then part of the funding agreement with Southern Cross was to design an annual survey of every school that we train, so that we could see the results across a whole year. And we're actually looking at going beyond a year now as well. But so the first report, like everything, it was COVID delayed. So it took about 18 months rather than 1 year. But we found, it really reinforced our earlier research results. We saw flourishing among kids going up, which is a measure of positive mental health and well-being, and its opposite, languishing, going down. And we saw A whole lot of really interesting positive behaviors increasing, like kids feeling more lively, more hopeful, persevering with their work more, being more enthusiastic, those types of things. And then things like feelings of feeling anxious and uncooperative and irritable and pessimistic, all of that went down. So really great results.
Suresh, if I can bring you in now, obviously you've had a major life change professionally in the last while, and can you explain a little bit more about what you're doing now and why this was an organisation you chose to endorse? I imagine plenty of organisations are seeking that.
Yes, thanks, Catherine. Well, as you say, a major life change in the sense of stepping away from being Director General of Health in July last year, and not just that role, but of course the intensity and relentlessness of 3 years of COVID as part of that role. I took a good break with my wife, and that was a chance to consider what I do next. And my main role I'm doing now is with the University of Auckland. There's been some publicity about that, and I'm enjoying various aspects of that role, not least the chance to teach students, and that includes undergraduate students and population health, and also some of the graduate programs around leadership. I was part of a communications class last week, reflecting on what we had done during the pandemic and our communications approach. I'm also doing some work on behalf of or with the Foreign Affairs and Trade Ministry. And this is co-chairing a process with the World Health Organization that's part of the follow-up from the pandemic, really. And this is reviewing the international health regulations. That's challenging, interesting, and it's great to be reconnecting with colleagues who I've done some international or global health work before. And as you said, more just now, really, and announced in the last couple of days, is this involvement with the Pause, Breathe, Smile program. And for me, thinking about my involvement here, there were three really important considerations. First of all, is this an important issue that I want to spend time on? Well, child and young people mental well-being and general well-being has to be one of the most important public health and wider issues, I think, in Aotearoa, if not globally. The second for me was what's the values fit? And when you look at the program, words like kindness, gratitude, curiosity, front and center, and when you see the program being delivered, and the children's engagement in the program, you can see that playing out. And so that was a good values fit for me. But the third element was what you've just discussed, and that is there actually evidence for benefit? And there was already some evidence before this latest MindQuip survey, but that I think that really sealed the deal. It shows this increase in positive behavior. Reduction in negative behavior, but really importantly, an improvement in children's well-being. And again, what I really like about the program is that it's teaching kids a lifelong skill. And certainly, mindfulness is a skill that anyone can benefit from. I've seen the benefits in members of my own family. And after many years of my wife encouraging me to do this a little more regularly, I've started going down that route and actually found it really helpful.
It's such a buzzword. Half the influencers on the planet will have on their Instas their own version thereof. For you, looking at it as a technique, a verifiable technique and benefit, what are the key elements? What do you use?
Well, for me, and this is, I think, central to mindfulness, Grant's the expert here, but it's really just that. And this is what's so great about the name of this program. It is taking that time, just pausing, a strong focus on the breathing, just sitting still, being present. Again, another sort of buzzword, but it's actually what it's about. It's about really thinking about where you are, inhabiting this moment, and then reflecting on and just focusing on that breathing so that it centers you again. And this, I think, is the common thread through mindfulness programs, techniques. Yes, there are many apps that are available. There are different programs, but my sense is those are the central elements of any mindfulness approach.
As a public health expert, how concerned are you about mental distress across the community post pandemic? It has messed with us in different ways, it seems, some profoundly and acutely affected directly, others just discombobulated by the concept of being, you know, locked in our own houses, or just the sense of a lack of control. And now it is, of course, wreaking havoc financially, I guess, with the aftermath of the economic responses that were carried out in countries across the world. There's a sense of people being emotionally displaced, I guess, and as communities we're emotionally displaced. How concerned are you about the various forms of impact?
Well, I'm as concerned as anyone, and the important thing is to be concerned, find out about what the issues are, and then, of course, work out what we can do about them. I think that what the pandemic did was it really sort of accelerated and amplified trends that we were already seeing, particularly for young people, in terms of this worldwide increase in anxiety and stress and the pandemic, because it was such a significant event. And I think we forget that. It all feels a little surreal now. This was the biggest global health challenge in 100 years and the biggest planet-wide event that really disrupted our lives, I'd say, since the Second World War. It's good that as humans we adapt and we move on quickly, but we just can't afford to lose sight of the impact that COVID has had, as you've said, on our emotional well-being. And we need to take the time to recover, just as we do from any physical illness. So again, this is the time for initiative. It's the time for programs like this. And I think that Southern Cross's investment in this, it's a not-for-profit that was important for me, and it's making a specific investment to try and do something concrete to actually address those issues that we're all aware of.
Grant, what are you seeing? It's interesting, 10 years ago, Canterbury was dealing with a massive pan-community health crisis, there's mental health crisis, there's no issue of that. And we know from disasters like that, it is often 3 years later, I think, is the magic number, that the true impacts begin to emerge. The disruption on children's sense of security and normality. We've got to remember, for young people, a three-year event like the pandemic might be a quarter of their lives or a third of their lives. So 10 years ago, we were perhaps dealing specifically with that in one instance. We've seen the rise and impact, of course, of social media and just of all media presence in young people's lives. What are you seeing over time about the prevalence of, as Sir Ashley said, anxiety or stress or worry beyond what might be considered okay or normal?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, those are really interesting examples. Canterbury was, probably the biggest area of uptake of the program in around about that time, you know, about 3 years, 4 years, maybe 5 years after the earthquake. And I think one thing that's really beneficial about it is because we go in and we train the teachers and also other professionals who work with kids. And, you know, they get a lot of personal benefit themselves, which then they pass on to the kids. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few years as a result of the pandemic. I think one thing that's very interesting that, is important to be aware of as well is that there are concerns about childhood well-being and adolescent well-being, and we know that in New Zealand as well as around the world. But some of what they saw after the bushfires in Australia is that actually the majority of the kids affected by those really bounced back, and they saw that kids are really resilient. And I think, you know, so the important thing there is that if we get in there and we offer these initiatives and we do what we're doing, which is training the adults in the community, the teachers and other health professionals, then that's really key. I think there's clearly huge benefit in giving kids themselves these skills and watching the way that they use mindfulness-based skills in their everyday lives. They will bounce back so long as we also look after the adults around them and share the benefits.
Thank you, Grant Ricks, who's a program founder of Pause, Breathe, Smile, and speaking there also to Sir Ashley Bloomfield, who has just joined the program as an ambassador.